Welcome to this week's podcast of Breakthrough Church from Bayswater in Melbourne, Australia. For more details and further resources, visit breakthrough.org.au. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We are speaking on the Big Thinkers League, so turn to chapter 28. Big Thinkers League because God wants us to have a mindset which handles life and knows what to do in life, which is representative of His thinking. Not just to think of our own thoughts and come up with our own ways of thinking things. I've been a Christian since I was just around 8 years of age. As a child, I have a very real experience with God. Then as a teenager, I had an experience where God said, listen, enough of this just being in church. Are you really mine? Are you really mine? Are you going to be serious about this? And I was doing that dance called See How Close I Could Dance to the World Without Falling In. Anyone else ever done that dance? You know, just a, hey, I'm in the church and I love God, but let's see how close I can be to the world without actually getting in the world. But how many know that's not a happy place to be? You know what, you know, you're pretty much sitting on the fence, and you know what you get when you're sitting on the fence? Is splinters. All right, it is not a good experience. You do not enjoy it. And you sort of, you're effectively backslidden, but you're not even wise enough to know that. And, you know, a backslidden person is the most miserable person in the world. All right? Because you know too much about God to be happy in the world, and you've got too much of the world to be happy with God. You're just in a miserable place. All right? When you're near God, you're feeling guilty. When you're in the world, you're feeling guilty. And so I was in that place, and I was working, and I was 15, 16 years of age, and I was walking to class. I went to Wangaratta Tech. Anyone here from the country? Just me. Just two. All right. Need John Paul here. Be my Wangaratta Tech supporter. I grew up in Yarrawonga, but I went to school in Wangaratta for my high school, Wang Tech. And I was walking to class after lunch. I can remember it very clearly. I'd like to take someone, maybe my family, say, here it is, because it's right outside the toilets. Just a great place. Just going through the doors into where the lockers were. And as I was walking, so I was not praying, I was not in church, I was not thinking about God, God spoke to me. He spoke audibly in the sense that it made me go like that, but I don't think anyone else would have heard it. I don't think it was audible to anyone else, but it was audible in my heart and mind. And He said this. He said, when are you going to get fair dinkum? So that proves God's Australian. Because He actually used those words. When are you going to get fair dinkum? All right? So we know He's Australian, and then He just relates to everyone else in the world. But it didn't occur to me years later that He actually used such an Australian phrase. But, you know, when He speaks to you, what you want to understand, and the way that you... But it shook me up big time. When are you going to get fair dinkum? Changed what... Because I knew I had to make a choice. I knew exactly what He meant. It was a short phrase, but I knew what He meant. Enough. Are you going to be for me or are you going to be against me? But don't be trying to be both. So it took me 2 weeks to make that decision because I knew I could not make a... I couldn't just make a decision. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It had to be, if I'm going to say yes, He gets all of me forever. For all of me forever. And so it took 2 weeks for me to do that. I remember standing out in the backyard, literally shaking a little bit, you know, in that 2 weeks, making the decision, I'm going to give my life to You, Lord. Okay, so this is going to be, and then God began to work and some miracles began to happen, and I found another group of other people had similar experiences at the same time. We joined together and we started running a Bible study at lunchtime. You know, we were so foolish, but so full of God. We didn't run it once a week. We ran it every day. We didn't think to have a break at all. We just said, let's just do it every day. We're just going to run it. Every lunchtime, we just had a Bible study and a prayer time and invite people and do everything. And God just worked amongst us. It was good. And we really appreciate what He did. But at that moment, I began to be full on for God. And then God began to teach me over the years. And I remember coming to the church here, it was Blackburn back then, and we were, you know, in the Blackburn Assembly of God, and Christine's dad and mum were the pastors, and I can still remember some of the messages they were preaching. And they began to introduce me to things, and especially the message of faith began to be preached, and I began to get really challenged by that and go with it. And I discovered something, that I am not allowed to say anything I want to say. You know, one of the first things you learn in the life of faith is, if you're going to be serious about this, you've got to control that tongue. If you don't control your tongue, you're in difficulty. Because the book of James says the tongue is like a rudder. It's only small, but it controls your life. It's only like a fire, a little match. You know, what difference could a little match make? Well, you tell that to a forest. All right? And so you can take a small bit and put it in that mouth of a horse. And even though the horse is so big and so large, just with that bit, you can steer it and guide it and lead it. And it said, that's the tongue. The tongue is that thing. It sets direction. So it's more than just a part of your life. It's directional in your life. And so people say to me, you get over the top with this. Can I not say this? Can I not say? I say, you can say anything you want. I'm not here to tell you what you can and can't say. You can say anything you want. But just realize, if you want to go in a certain direction, and if you want to have certain results in your life, well, then you will need to take charge. If you don't care where you go and how you end up and what your life's like, say whatever you like. But if you are concerned about going on a certain direction, you know, how many know that when you're sailing on a yacht, if you don't care where you go, you can just let the wind guide you. But if you want to get to a certain place, you need to be able to hold the rudder and you'd steer it expertly to get there, because you've got to go against wind, get half wind, you know. Even if the wind's against you, you can still sail into the wind. It takes expertise and it takes skill, takes a bit of strength to hold that rudder, and the same with my tongue. So I was really like, oh man, I can still remember as a young man in my 20s learning to take control of my thoughts and my mouth, because that was a bit of a lesson. You know, that God was, you know, and he'd pull me up if I'm saying things. You know, I just can't say things, can't run my mouth off, can't. And at times when I don't want to say anything, he would say, you need to say something. I can still remember the time when our dog, Minnie, she was a little miniature schnauzer mixed with a poodle. When God created dogs, they're more like a wolf. All right, by the time they got to Minnie, we had devolutioned down. Sorry to spoil it for you, but the little dogs are not how God planned it, but that's how we've created, all right? But, you know, so they've got a lot of things, you know, our dog had knees that wouldn't hold together and all sorts of things. But we would pray and bless that dog, even in the midst of all that. And I remember taking our dog, and when we first bought our dog from a shop in the city, I remember the pet store there, especially one we'd gone in, we'd ordered, everything was, we'd take, and I'm carrying the dog back to the car. I'd said to our dog, I don't know whether we'd given it a name at that stage. I don't know whether we had a name. Chris, do we have a name for Minnie? We had a name already, Minnie. Kids have probably helped us with that. Minnie. Because she was a miniature schnauzer. So Minnie, all right? Well, the other part was poodle, so just think, it's probably good that they chose Minnie. Otherwise, she'd be oodle. So I'm carrying Minnie, and I'm saying, and I'm actually speaking this to the dog. I know the family probably couldn't hear. I'm walking there, and I said, guess what? You're a blessed dog because you've come into a blessed home. And I base that on Deuteronomy 28, says, because blessed are the cattle. Blessed are the cattle that's in your life. So you, by being a dog, have come into our blessing. So I spoke that, and I said, you are a blessed dog now. You know, all those other dogs, I don't know where they're going to be. You have a blessed home. You are a blessed dog, and I declare over you Deuteronomy 28. So I'm speaking, declaring Deuteronomy 28. Now that got tested because about 1 year of age, she was young, started to have real difficulties with her stomach, couldn't hold food, were trying all sorts of things. She went into the vet, and I'm guessing there was something seriously wrong, and they actually put her on a full fast for 3 days, cleared her out, sent her back, and said, hopefully we fixed it, it's all right. And so we gave her one meal, we're looking after the family, wore out, and she started to get really sick. I took her outside, and she started to vomit, and it was dark, thick vomit. And I rang the vet, and they said, listen, maybe all right, as long as the color of the vomit's not dark. I'm like, well. They said, if it's dark, she's hemorrhaging inside. This is serious. And I'm like, okay, hang up. Not sure. And I'm standing there, and the Holy Spirit again spoke to me very clearly. I can still remember very clearly. He said, don't speak in tongues. You can't. Don't speak in English. You can't depend on what you'll say. Okay, speak in tongues. You can't depend on what you'll say. Because I was in so much pressure. You know, this has been a journey in and out of, you know, the dog was in vet, at the vets and back. And, you know, we were under a lot of pressure. We've got small children. You know, this is all happening. And Holy Spirit said, don't speak in English. You can't trust what you'll say. Now, I always thought, for many years, I thought that was helpful advice and good advice, which it was. But I didn't realize it was also a rebuke. Because the Holy Spirit says, you are not mature enough for me to trust you with your English. That's what he was saying. I should have been able to speak in English. Speaking in English is what he probably wanted, but I was too immature to control my tongue at that point, and it would have just said all the wrong things. So he was actually protecting me from doing disaster at that moment. So he said, pray in tongues, I'll help you. But what you've got to understand is God doesn't want us to live at that level. He wants us to be able to get to the point where we are in agreement and using our tongue to align up with him. So I began to pray in the language of the Holy Spirit and be able to pray in tongues. The Bible talks about when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it gives an ability. And many of you here have this ability where as he fills you, you're able to speak and pray when you desire in another language. Not, you know, some people think, does it just come upon you when you're on the bus? How embarrassing with that? No, you're totally in control. This is your speaking, your language. I speak in tongues, but the Holy Spirit, through my spirit, gives me the utterance. All right, so he's speaking to my spirit. It's still my spirit speaking. That's why it's coming through a filter. It's not directly from the Holy Spirit. I speak in out of my spirit, but it's coming out of my spirit's relationship with God. So therefore, the things I'm saying, hopefully, are not, oh dear, what's going to happen? This is a disaster. But instead, I'm not sure what I was saying, but I'm guessing it was better than that. As I'm doing that and praying for my dog, she was so weak. She hadn't been eating for 3 days. Now she's had one meal. Now she's hemorrhaging and all the rest. God put this thought in my heart. He said, if your dog was well, what would you do? And I said, well, I always come out the backyard. And what I do is I have a tennis ball and I throw it to the other end of the yard and she would run down and get it and come back. And we just, you know, that's our game. She knows when shall I come out? This is what we're going to do. And I thought, you know, but if I did this at the moment, I'd probably kill the dog. He said, if your dog was well. Now, I'm not saying this is the answer for everything you do. You have to have the Spirit of God speaking to you, okay? Don't just go and copy this and you'll get bad results out of copying. But hear the element. God spoke, so I'm speaking in tongues. I'm controlling my tongue. I'm using that. And out of that, this thought comes up. If your dog was well, what would you do? And I say, well, I would play the game with the ball. And I heard this well. So I picked up a ball, and by faith I said, Minnie, fetch! And I threw it, and now she'd been pretty listless. She picked up, she chased it. By the time she came back, she was fully healed. Full of strength, full of health, and fine, and lived to 20. Okay? In that moment, from what getting the ball, the time she came back, she was just fully healed. That's at that moment. Bang! And I thought, wow. This, you know, learning to control your tongue, the guide, that's powerful. All right, allows you to enjoy things like that and the blessings of God. Then a few years later, I discovered, as I'm reading the Word of God, God says, not just your tongue, I want you to control your thoughts. I'm like, come on. This has been a hard enough job controlling the tongue. Now I discovered I've actually got to take charge of my thinking. And that was like a real revelation. You're not allowed to just think anything you want to think if you're going to get... That's so unfair, because thoughts sort of come. And I actually remember sharing a message that came out of this, which was, who's setting the agenda of your mind? And, you know, you've ever gone into a board meeting and you have that large round table and you sit down, there's an agenda for that board meeting. You don't just have a meeting, and a board meeting is a official meeting, and there's an agenda. And they'll have, you know, I'm on a board at the moment, and they'll come in, that agenda comes out 1 week ahead. And if you want something that's not on that agenda. You have to let them know ahead and they have to agree for it to be put in. Otherwise, we might put it in for the next meeting. It just doesn't happen. You just can't rock into the meeting and say, you know, I've had this on my heart, let's discuss. You can do that, but you have to have a special motion to add an item into the agenda. And, you know, you can't just talk about stuff on the side because people are not prepared and they might not have done the research or they might not have key people there. So board meetings have an agenda. Now imagine you are in charge of the board of your life and you're the chairman of your life. And you sit down and you have all these thoughts going around in your head. And you know, sometimes it's like different parts of your life have their own voice. The body's got a voice. In the morning it says, hit the snooze. And the hand says, amen to that. All right. And the spirit's saying, I want to say, shut up, spirit. Body's in charge here. All right. You know, you have those little internal. There's different parts. There's the boy in you that says, yeah, let's play on the roof with the kids, you know. And then there's the other part that says, no, I'm not going to be a good move, you know, you're 45. And and your wife will come home. You know, so you've got all these thoughts bouncing around. It's like a little agenda, a little board meeting. And I discovered that I was not good at setting agendas for my internal thinking. Whoever spoke up got to speak. I had no idea that you just didn't let every voice speak. And, you know, sometimes it's not just internally. You know, I reckon the devil sometimes has his voice into your life. That's how temptation works. So he'll come and he'll say, you ought to do this and you should do that. But often the voices all come and it's like they sound like me sometimes, or they just sound like coming outside. And, you know, and so I had no idea that just because someone spoke, I didn't have to think about it. So if a thought came in my head, I just presume that's my thought, I'll think about it. Like, oh. You know, this is going to be a disaster meeting on Wednesday when you meet with your boss. You know, they're laying off so many staff, you'll be next. Well, if I have that thought, I think about it. Because it's in my head. So why not think about it? It's a loud voice. So I just think about it and think more about it. And then when I think about it, I think about, you know, I'm saying, no, hang on, I'm praying. I got my church praying. God's got my protected. Yeah, but you know, your best friend Fred, you know, he's laid off and now they can't make house payments. Yeah, that's right. I'll think about Fred and the house payments and now, you know, just whatever the thought comes in, I presume that meant that's mine to think about. That's my responsibility. I'll just chew it over and run it around. And then God said, no. You set agendas. And if anyone else brings an item that's not on that agenda, you are very free to say this. Excuse me, that's not for me to think about. And that was like a revelation. And I remember at the time, we were actually going through an issue where we were selling our car. We were upgrading our car, so we needed to sell our car. And I didn't know at the time when we made that choice that we were in what's called a recession in secondhand cars. Didn't know you had such a thing, but you did. And suddenly we found out no one was buying these cars. And if they were, they were giving really low prices. And so I remember Chris and I said, but we believe this is the right time. We're going to go ahead with it. And then, so we put an ad in the, you know, the back then, it was, what was the paper ad, the newspaper? The Trading Post. Yeah, you put in the Trading Post for young people. This is a piece of thing called paper, and it'd have writing on it. And you press a button and the pages would turn automatically, you know. So, anyway. So we put on the Trading Post, I'd get all these thoughts, you know, not going to be able to sell the car, they're not going to do this. And I remember God saying, when you get these thoughts, because they're doubts, they're coming, tell them they can come to me, and I'll answer those. And I never thought you could do that. I thought I had to answer everything. Every thought, I've got to have an answer for. God's like, no. Your job is to trust me. How I do it, you don't know. So how are you going to give an answer? How are you going to answer something you don't know? So I'd get this thought, how are you going to sell the car in the middle of this? And say, well, that you have to talk to God about that. Just go talk to God. If you really want to know, because I got a feeling he's not wanting to know for information. He's wanting to know just to make you feel depressed and doubting and full of unbelief. He doesn't actually care, but he's asking. He doesn't say, I want you to be in doubt and unbelief. No, he says, I really care for you. I'm concerned you're not going to have the money for this car. I feel sorry for you. Please, what are we going to do when you can't sell the car? You know, that sort of, oh, I'm just so on your side. And I'd say, and I learned this. I can remember I was at the backyard and saying, you have to talk to God about that because I don't have the information. And I don't think he ever actually went and asked God. I suspect he never actually wanted an answer. So I would learn, whenever that thought came in, to just deflect it straight away and say, no, I don't have to think about that. I have one thing that God told us, and we got, you know, it was that we don't need multiple car buyers. We only got one car. You know, sometimes you feel, unless you've got 10 people ringing, how many buyers do we need? One. So I said, we just need one buyer at the right price. So we don't need 20 buyers. How are you going to get that buyer? Oh, you've got to talk to God about that. How are you going to? Just talk to God. Excuse me, talk to God. You know, and I found it was like in a courtroom, you know. I've never actually been in this situation, but I've seen a lot of movies, so I'm an expert. You know, one day I'll probably go to court and I'm like, this is nothing like the movies. It's like, what? They've been lying to us this whole time. It's much. But anyway, I know in the movies, so I know what it's like. And the lawyer on the other side, the prosecutor, will be standing there and he'll be saying this. And he'll say, and he'll ask me a question. And my lawyer will jump up and he'll say, objection! Because like that's an invalid question. You're not allowed to just ask any question in a court of law. Is that right? Yep. Have I got that part right? Yep. Go to our expert.
I've watched a lot of
TV. Yeah, he's such the same programs. That's true. That's what happens. Objection, Your Honor. And they have a big argument and they say, and then they'll say, oh, strike that from the record. You know, yeah, all the jury will now forget that thing they just heard that we've argued about for 5 minutes in front of you. They're perfect jury. They just, what thing? So, you know, you've got to have that internal objection mode. That when the thought came, objection, Your Honor! That's not a valid question for my client. Okay, well, he's protected because he's belong. You know, who do I ask? Well, you have to talk to his lawyer or his representative. Did you know that the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, when it says, Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven, but I'm going to give you, and it's called a helper, parakletos. Para means come along next to. That's why you have parallel lines next to anything, paragraph words that are next to it, you know, make a group together. Para, next to. Kletos, someone you call. Kletos is where the Greek word kali, call. You can hear that even in English in it, call. Called alongside. So the Holy Spirit is to come alongside us to help us. And it actually was used in a legal sense. That if you were going to a legal hearing, you have someone that would come along to help you who has the expertise needed in that legal situation. And that would be the parakletos, the one coming along with you. So God said, I'm going to give you someone next to you who's an expert in this. So if you need an expert in life, you've got the Holy Spirit. But you've got to take your expert's advice. If you get in there and say, that's all right, I've watched the TV. I know how this works. And you make an absolute hash of it. Then you go out and you say to Parakletos, how come this didn't work? I thought you were my expert. He said, yeah, but you've got to do what I say. Yeah. And you know, when I say objection, stop answering. Yeah. Stop saying, oh yeah, I know. Why was there a bloody knife found in the, that's a knife full of blood, by the way, people listening. Why was there a knife with blood all over it found in the lounge room? And objection! Oh no, I can answer that. Well, what was happening was doing fishing. Then no, I shut up. No, I can tell him. Why were you thinking? Well, that was my because I picked it up. No, stop. Guilty. What? If you'd listen to me, that's not the time to explain that because there's another way of doing this. All right. So, but the Parakletos is the expert, and he helps you. So he helps you with what to say and what to think. All right. So you've got to take charge of your thinking. Take charge of what you are thinking. So Big Thinkers League is not, oh, I'll give you something to add on and tag on and some extra big thoughts to add to your normal routine of thinking. Big Thinkers League is about taking hold of a new way of thinking, a new kind of thinking, the thinking that only aligns with, and you can think about other things as long as, you know, the Holy Spirit's fine with that. Can you think about your team's chances of winning the premiership? Well, you might need faith for that. You can welcome the thing. You want to think about how good ice cream tastes on a sunny day? Go for it. You know, unless you're on a diet and you're not meant to be having ice cream, then the Holy Spirit might say, that's not a good thing to be thinking about. That's not a good thing to be dreaming about. That's not a good thing to be meditating over. And you say, no, I'm only thinking about it. I'm not doing it. How many know the Holy Spirit says, I'm the expert, and I've just said, stop it. Because you're going to, if you think about it, and you dwell on it, and you meditate on it, it will drop down into your heart. And you know what? If it drops into your heart, you will end up doing it. Yeah. And then people say, I don't know how this happened. I just don't know how it happened. You know, you hear of people that their marriage falls apart and the guy is clueless as to how it happened. I'll tell you how it happened, man. You were dreaming of the ice cream you shouldn't have been dreaming of. All right? It doesn't start down here where you fall over into the sin. It starts way back there when you didn't listen to the Holy Spirit saying, don't think about this. That's wrong. Shut that down. It starts with your thinking. All right? And so Big Thinkers League is about not just stopping us from getting into the wrong situation, but it's also said, now I want you to go and do something of this largeness for God and be blessed and walking in His favor. You can't do that without changing the way you think. Every situation, you've got to face it with a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at it, a new perspective, a perspective that says, when I'm in line with Jesus, when I connect with Him, there's something about an upward movement and a movement towards God. The resurrection life of God is flowing in me. The power of God is in me. This is what is in me. I can still remember the story of Kenneth Copeland sharing how he was preaching at a church many, many years ago. This is a long time ago. And he said, you know, he'd been there a few days, and then they had a bookshop that was part of the church. And so he actually, between the services, had come into the bookshop to get something. And he went to the counter, and as he's purchasing it, you know, the young lady said, oh, you know, it'd be so much. And he said, okay. And he just sniffed like that. Just, and she goes, oh, so you're getting a cold. Now, if you don't know Kenneth Copeland, I'm telling you now, that's not the right thing to say. Because I can tell you that his thinking and his way of looking at life was so saturated in what the Bible said, and that was his whole aim, was to fill his mind and his meditation with what the Bible said, so that what he was thinking about himself was when he sniffed was not, yeah, I'm going to get a cold because that's what I do. You know, we just get colds and we get sick. First sign of sickness, I'm the first one in my family to get sick. Whenever something goes wrong, no, that is not what he's thinking. His mind is full of healing and wholeness and upward lifting things in Jesus. It says in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, he says that we are to meditate on His word day and night so that we can be victorious, so that we think and we chew over it and we talk about it. And so he said, this woman looked at him and said, you know, sounds like you're getting a cold. And he said, well, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. My body is healthy because of the Holy Spirit in me, because Jesus has taken my pain and my suffering, according to Isaiah 53. And he said like 10 minutes on, and it's scripture after scripture and scripture after scripture. And she's like, and he said, after 10 minutes, she goes, you've been preaching this for 3 days, but I just got it. I understand what it is you've been saying. I've been in a service and it's like, what's he on about? But now I understand. You fill yourself with what God says about you. You fill your thinking, and that will only happen if you take charge of what the agenda of your mind is. You cannot just say, well, it'll happen because I come to church. It'll just happen because I'm Christian. It will happen because I'm around other Christians. No, you've got to take control, and thoughts have to be put through the agenda. And if that's not part of your agenda, you say, I don't think that anymore. And the enemy says, well, how are you going to answer this? And how are you going to do that? You say, you talk to God and He will handle it. I remember another time that I was talking. I had messed up. And this is a long time ago because, you know, that's been how long it is since I messed up. A long time ago. I have to cast my memory back to the last time I messed up. Biggest smiles on Christine's face, all right? All right, so this morning, no. No, this was actually a number of years ago. And I'd done something, I messed up. But you know what? I'd come to God, I had prayed, I'd asked His forgiveness, I received His forgiveness. But how many know there's parts of your life that are slow to catch on? All right? You can be forgiven, but you can still feel guilty. You can be forgiven, but you can still feel lousy. You can feel condemned. You can feel all the things that are against what you know. And but the only part of me that knew I was forgiven was like this little tiny voice amongst all the heaviness of the feeling. And I can remember walking in the backyard, different backyard, we'd moved to our houses, but so not that it makes any difference to the story, but it just helps me to say. I was walking in the backyard down by myself, and I am using my rudder to steer me in the line of I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And talking about that, because when your mind is struggling, you need to use your tongue to help you. That is one thing I have learned. I cannot do it internally. Internally, it just runs amok. But if you take your tongue, steer it, it pulls all your thinking in line. If you want to try this, you can. You can actually try and think one thing while speaking another. All right? Do it at home because it's a bit embarrassing and funny here, you know, even though it's a lot of fun. Try doing something that you've got to think about a little bit, like counting backwards from 20 by twos, all right? Some people say, no, that's too hard in any life. Just count backwards by 20, so 20, 19. But instead of saying it, just think it. And while you are thinking it, I want you to speak and spell out your name. So you've got to count in your head and speak something else. And what you find is you can only think when you're not speaking. So I don't know, I go 20, 19, P, 18, 17, T. You know, you sort of jump, you know, and then it gets all messed up. But if I just say P-E-T-E-R, my mind has no chance. If I am speaking, my mind can't, you can't interrupt. Now, there's a couple of qualifications here. You've got to be speaking something on purpose. Singing, I find, doesn't work because it's sort of in a rote mode. How many? I love you, Lord. Oh, what am I having for dinner? Oh, I bet they don't. You know. Greatest thing in all this life is loving you. I think I'm going to eat chicken today. Chicken sounds really good. How many know you can be doing that? You can be doing one thing there and you can be a million miles away there. Or worse is, you know, I love you, Lord. They didn't even shake my hand in the car park. You can be like, wow, the Lord's like, what are you doing? All right, so singing doesn't cut it because it's just too much rote. Praying in tongues is also the same. You can be praying in tongues and your mind can just be full of doubt and unbelief. So you got to, So if you're having a real battle in your mind, you've got to take something and you begin to speak it. So you can even do something like take a scripture and you can say Isaiah 53 and you begin to quote it and begin to speak it and you begin, but you've got to think about it. You've got to chew it over and be speaking and think, not just by memory, but by actually thinking. And if you're doing that, your mind can't get in. So I'm speaking and declaring that I am forgiven, that God has forgiven me, but I'm feeling the weight, I'm feeling the weight. And as I get to the end of the path, and I'm just doing, I had this thought. And I said, enough about me, how about you? You know what? I have messed up, but I'm going to heaven. Because I'm forgiven. Someone has paid for me. But you, the condemner, the one that's sitting on my shoulder, what about your future? You don't get forgiveness. And you know what? That voice and that feeling lifted, and it's as if it just flew off. And I'm seriously saying, my whole countenance, it just felt lighter. As if, it's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. Because I literally spun around and said, enough about me, how about you for a while? Because I am forgiven, and I have got a future. And God has forgiven me, and he doesn't remember it. But you are headed for hell. And it lifted just right off. But I had to take charge. Big Thinking League is all about not just thinking some nice big thoughts, thinking about some nice big things for our lives, but it's thinking big because it's thinking the way God thinks about us and laying hold of that and making that part of our lives. And it's not just about what you say, it has to be about what you think. And if you need to change the way you think, then you need to change what you meditate on. And what you meditate on needs to be what you are saying. Because the book in Hebrews, it says, let's actually look at that. I know I've took you to Acts 28, but we've just gone a little different direction. So we'll leave that for another time. Hallelujah. I heard this today, the other day. Turn to the person next to you and just want to bless and say, I bless you, I love you. Now turn to the person on the other side and say, this is why I chose you second. It's not a change. Sorry, someone's still trying to get over that. Why don't you? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. No, what I was going to say, this is a serious part. Did I say Hebrews? Go to Joshua. No, I said in the Hebrew. So if I said Hebrews, I'm not referring. Rewind that tape. Okay, we won't cut this out when you're listening to it. Yes, now you have to go back and listen to the podcast. See what I said, all right? If it goes something, it's like, turn to the book and then it's got a different background sound. And I say, Joshua. And it kind of, see, I say, proof. This is not the actual direction that I've got another direction, which the Lord will, I'm sure, bring in his time. So I'm going to guess that there's more than one person here that this is really pertinent to. So you can say, Lord, this I came today and they changed the message for me. All right? And so you can turn the person next to you and say, you can get the overflow, but it was for me. Joshua 1, verse 8. Let's go back to verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. So it's an instruction to Joshua. It says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, command you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Now, some translations, I'm guessing, might even change that word mouth to mind because it seems to make more sense, but I'm telling you, it is literally mouth, because the Hebrew word, not the book of Hebrews, but the Hebrew word for meditate means to mutter. In its basic form, means to chew over something and to mutter it. That's why it says, this will not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it. Now, if you're not sure how this works, just look at your children and tell them to do something they don't want to do, like clean up their room, and then listen to them meditate about that instruction. Oh, man, I have to clean my room again. Oh, no, I'd rather be outside. They are meditating. All right? They are taking a thought and chewing over it, and it is spilling out of their mouth and da-da-da. All right? But you never go through that. Only kids. That's why it's only the kids. All right? You don't murmur and mutter. That stupid driver, I don't know what he's thinking. I could have had an accident if I didn't do that. You know? We know how to meditate, but most people don't know how to do it in the positive. All right? It is exactly the same process. You take the Word of God and you replace all those ugly thoughts with the thoughts of the Word of God, and you do exactly the same thing. So when the boss says to you, I'm going to have a meeting on Wednesday, and you think, and you want to say, oh no, this is a disaster, they're laying people off, I don't know what I'm going to do. And you say, Lord, you know what, I have your favor and I thank you, I have your trust. I trust in you. And first of all, I want to say, Lord, my job is not my source. My job is not my life. My job is just where you are using at this moment to make provision. But I declare you are my provider. And I, first of all, put my life and my trust in you afresh. And I declare that you are my God. And you have said, you shall supply all my need according to your riches and glory. And I thank you, my paycheck is not my source. You are. And do you understand? You start positioning yourself and you start. Now, your feelings and your thoughts put probably in a totally different direction. Time you finish that type of meditation. And you say, I pray for this job on Wednesday, this interview on Wednesday. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to start putting it under the provision and grace of God. You're going to have your hand upon that. You're going to give me words to say. You're going to help me prepare and know what to do. Do you know what I mean? You begin to, now, you don't just think that. You actually murmur it. You murmur it. Now, I remember having an argument with the Lord about this because I said to the Lord, I appreciate what he said, but only crazy people talk to themselves. You know what I mean? The people that talk to themselves and get nice white jackets and are put away. So I'm not going to be one of those people. So I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to fix up your word for you. I've made this offer a number of times. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mind, but you shall think about it day and night. I said, that'll be much better, much nicer. It'll fit the 20th century, and it'll work a lot better. And God said, I said what I said, back off. He didn't actually say back off, but he did actually say to me, I've said what I've said, and I, you know, and my understanding was he was pretty happy with it and didn't want any help. So I came back to him and said, well, okay, so you actually did mean it when you said mouth. And I said, this is really strange. And God's like, well, your choice. You can do it my way or you can do it your way. And it's like, I'm going to guess that your way works and my way will end in disaster. Because if I had just thought about it, you know what happens? Your thoughts get all filled with other thoughts. And if you ever tried to sit there quietly and just think about God, and 5 minutes later you're wondering about, you know, why the curtain is that way. And and then I think, I must. That reminds me. I said I'll get up and clean it. Oh, no. You know, you just, and then, you know, suddenly, oh, dear. So thank God we've got iPhones now that keep us on track. Oh, I got a text and I got a Facebook message and all these things that work so wonderfully. But God said, I'll tell you how to do it. I'll tell you how to do it. You meditate on it and you don't let it out of your mouth. You keep it in your mouth. You keep speaking it and declaring it. And you have to take what God is saying about these Big Thinkers League. And Big Thinkers League is all about the fact that God's declaration over us, forgiven, free, full of grace, blessed, favored. These are the words that God has now spoken into our life. And at times when we face events in our life that tip us over, or when choosing the purposes of God would mean going to the bottom of a situation rather than just living at the top, like we went through, you can listen to the last couple of messages to understand that statement more fully. When we do that, we make a choice to say, Lord, but this is how I am going to embrace and live in the fullness of what Jesus has provided, and His grace and His mercy will bring me up. His resurrection life will work in me. I don't care what the doctor has said. I declare there is resurrection life that flows. I don't care what our bank balance looks like at the moment, because I declare you're going to give me wisdom to get through this. You're going to give me creative ideas about how to make finances, or you're going to bring that in supernaturally. You are going to make a way. Lord, you're going to tell me what to do. You're going to do things, and the Lord will tell you things, and He might say, I want, you know, the sow or to tithe or to give. And you say, well, that doesn't fit the natural mind, but it fits what I am saying, and I choose to go that path. And making that choice to go God's way and embrace it, even when it doesn't make sense, even though when it doesn't go, it goes against the natural grain, you find that if you do it God's way, it comes out all good in the end. It's the core issue in life. Is God's way or our own way? We do it the way of the flesh, and it's been the battle since the beginning of man, when they were put in a garden and told, do not eat of that tree, and it's the tree of good and evil. Now, a lot of people get confused, why the tree of good and evil? The tree of good and evil literally means, and I won't take the time now, but the understanding is where you get to choose what is good and what is bad. The choice is good or bad. It's right or wrong, your choice. Now, when God said, leave that alone, He meant, I decide what is right and what is wrong. And Eve, you know, under influence, said, you know what? I appreciate the suggestion of God, but I'm making a choice that is good. She set herself as the judge, not as the one that was receiving the instruction. And the Big Thinkers League requires you to make a choice in your heart to say, God, I yield the right to determining what is good or evil to you. You have to make that choice. And I am to learn it and obey it and follow it. And you know what? The more you do that, the more blessing flows. That's how it works. I suddenly realized, you know, when I said in my message about the fact that we needed one buyer, and then it was in a terrible time. I never got to tell you. Guess how many people rang up and inquired about the car?
One.
And guess what they paid? They paid $500 above what we were hoping to get. We picked a high price to help them negotiate. They just picked it and said yes. One inquiry, one buyer, better price. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Breakthrough Church. We hope it helps you in your life as a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions or would like someone to talk to or to pray with, we would love to hear from you. You can find all of our contact details at breakthrough.org.au. Have a great week.